You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
I think it's been my experience that particularly in Canada and to a lesser extent in the United States, an awful lot of journalists simply poo-poo the idea that a wind turbine can make you ill or cause negative health effects, even though there's a growing body of evidence out there that suggests otherwise, even though governments in many cases, including the government in Canada and the government in Ontario, say, no problem at all, don't worry about it. James Dellingpole joins me on the line now. He's a British journalist and author who has written extensively on this very topic. James, thanks very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
It's a pleasure.
Your bottom line on these wind turbines is there is a most definite health effect depending upon how close you happen to live to some of these giant turbines, right?
Yeah. I think there's been a massive and very cynical and deliberate cover-up by the wind farm industry.
Well, money is doing the talking here, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Money is doing the talking here.
As with so many businesses to do with climate change, just follow the money. There is so much money involved in the wind industry that, I mean, you'd almost call it a Ponzi scheme. It's a conspiracy against the taxpayer, against the energy user, in which a few very cynical vested interests make large sums of money.
Well, then they're making large sums of money in many countries around the world.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, Canada's problem is Britain's problem, is Australia's problem, is America's problem. Is Denmark's problem. It's a shame that really all the victims of wind farms haven't yet managed to unite to make a common cause of this, because I think that this is really one of the I think it's the biggest public health scandal of our age.
I think here in Canada, particularly in Ontario, where we have at the moment more than 1,000 wind turbines and plans for many more thousands, a lot of groups have united, and there's a federation, as it were, of groups concerned about health effects. But the government in Ontario simply dismisses all of their concerns, regardless of what they say.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, what we have at the moment, and I think this applies to a lot of forms of government at the moment in the world, we have this division between the political class and their cronies in business and the ordinary people. There is a massive gulf between these vested interests and their friends in political office and the ordinary people. And it makes it more urgent that we fight against this. We fight to get the information out. And we can, because we've got the internet, and we've got talk radio shows like this.
And we've got the evidence, I think. To me, the evidence seems to grow every time we talk to an expert in one of these related fields, talking about intrasound and infrasound. The evidence is there. It's just being ignored by people who are in positions of power.
Yes. Well, let's not forget that these wind farm organizations are able to spend millions of bucks employing top-notch public relations companies. The kind of money available to these people is vastly in excess of anything that the victims of these wind farms can afford. You know, you're just talking about country people who maybe moved to the country for a quiet life or have always lived there and in peace, and suddenly you get these industrial wind farms being imposed on them, and they feel helpless and lost, and they don't know what to do or where to go. They haven't got the money to fight against these giants. And this is the problem. The they're fighting a very cynical and ruthless propaganda campaign, using often telling outright lies about you know, that wind is good for the environment. Well, it isn't. You know, wind turbines kill birds, millions of birds every year. They kill bats. They despoil the landscape. They ruin people's views. They don't even do the thing they're supposed to do, which is to save CO2. And the reason for that is because wind power is so useless, i.e. it's useless because it's intermittent and unreliable, that it would have no value on the open market. The only reason that wind turbines can survive or even built in the first place is because of the subsidies which are made available to the wind farm industry through government fiat.
Let's talk a bit about living too close to some of these things. You've talked to, I know from your writings that you've talked to many people, all of whom talk about pretty well the same set of fairly profound, in some cases most profound, health effects because they're too close.
Yes, that's right. It started off, I was in Australia earlier this year, and I went to visit a community, a small community in South Australia, and it was like wandering into a ghost town. Half of the houses, I'd say, in this community had been abandoned. And let's be clear here. These were not people who were predisposed against wind farms. When the wind farm developers came along and told them that, you know, they would be doing their bit to save the planet through this renewable energy, the people in this community were pleased. They thought it would be good. They thought it would do them no harm. And the wind farm company promised them that there would be no side effects, there would be no noise disturbance. And, of course, the wind farm company was lying because these people's health has been ruined. I met one poor guy who'd been in excellent health, and within a couple of months of these wind turbines arriving, he'd had to have stents put in his heart. He was living on a caravan site 20 miles from his home. He couldn't live in his home anymore. Now, you don't abandon your home for no reason, not one you've spent all your savings on. And some of these people were saying the only time they could get any sleep was either when the wind turbines were turned off, or by driving away. They'd actually have to drive away into the hills in order to avoid the terrible infrasonic noise produced by these wind farms.
James, I know of a farmer who lives about 150 kilometers outside of Toronto, who leased his land for two of these wind turbines, and he kept in his possession a home in a nearby town. And he calls that home his safe house because when the wind's blowing and he can't sleep on the farm, he and his wife go to town so they can get a decent night's sleep.
I think anyone who has a wind farm on his land should be, as part of the deal, forced to sleep directly beneath the wind farm. So you know, that might be a disincentive. Because I think this is not just a bad industry. This is a really evil industry. I think that the people involved with it are not good people because they are fully aware of the health impacts of wind farms, although, of course, they have many expensive lawyers and public relations companies denying this.
Well, but the point is, and here's the elusive part of it, at least from my experience, looking into this as we have been for a couple of years now, on Zoomer Radio, the wind turbines and their effects are not felt by everyone. It's only
That's right.
a segment of the population. And of course, wind farms and governments use that to discredit those who do complain of health problems.
That's absolutely right. I've talked to various doctors. Of course, one of the leading researchers into all this is a Canadian doctor, Dr. Nina Pierpoint, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
Of course.
I talked to another doctor called Dr. Sarah Laurie in Australia, who's fighting a similar campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And in Britain, we've got Dr. Amanda Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And what they all say is that, yeah, it doesn't affect everyone. The people who are particularly vulnerable to this low-frequency noise and infrasound are the elderly, the young, And people with pre-existing problems, for example, people with balance disorders.
Some kind of compromised health situation of some kind.
Exactly. Or mental health. That's the other.
Yeah.
I had a heartbreaking letter yesterday from a man who'd, you know, been driven almost to suicide by a wind farm. He was already a manic depressive, and he'd gone to the country to a better life, and he'd been happy for a while, and then the wind farm had been built, and all his problems came back.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, in all of your scouting around and talking to people in Australia and back in the UK as well, did you ever feel the health effects of wind turbines?
Yeah, I was when I was in Waterloo in South Australia near a wind farm. I suppose what I felt was a great discomfort. You know, I wanted to. One of the things that wind turbines can do is they can stimulate the fight or flight mechanism.
Yeah.
So what they do is they make you feel agitated, and you're really not sure why, because your surroundings seem normal. You're indoors. When you can't see the wind turbines, but yeah, it got to the point where I really had to get out of range of them.
Yeah.
But the people I were with, you know, they don't have the option of doing this. These were ordinary people, you know, working class people. One of the guys was a panel beater. Another one was a carpenter, I think. These people cannot simply move out of the area and buy somewhere else. They can't be like your wind farm owner friend who's got his bolt hole
in
town.
Exactly. Part of the problem here in Canada, particularly in Ontario, is a great argument going on about how precisely you measure this low frequency sound, the infrasound and the sound you can't even hear with the human ear. That there doesn't seem to be reliable machinery that really properly measures what's coming off that wind turbine.
Yes, well, of course, and I think to a degree the wind industry has rigged the system that way. I think it's the same in Canada. It's certainly the case in Britain that the noise regulations for the wind industry were devised by people in the wind industry,
mm-hmm.
and the equipment they use to measure the sound is weighted deliberately to ignore low frequency noise. So in other words, it demonstrates, if you believe this, that wind turbines do not cause damaging sound.
Well, and on the other end of that, I have been in possession for some time, and so have a number of journalists, internal emails going back and forth amongst experts within the Ministry of the Environment in Ontario, saying, essentially conceding to the fact they cannot measure this low frequency sound, that they don't have machinery that can measure it. But at the same time, the ministry officially is saying it's well within acceptable limits without knowing really what those limits are.
Yes. Well, the wind industry is stonewalling. It's in a complete state of denial about the growing evidence that low frequency noise is damaging. There's been research done by Dr. Alex Salt in the US.
Yes,
he's an expert in the effects of low frequency noise on the cochlea, and that's part of the ear, and he says the responses of the human ear to low-frequency noise are just enormous,
mm-hmm.
bigger than to anything in the audible range.
I'm talking to James Dellingpole. He's a British author and journalist delving into the issues involving wind turbines, in particular the health effects. If you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call right now at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
My guest is James Dellingpole, a British author and journalist looking into the wind turbines around the world, in particular the health effects of wind turbines. James, we see here in Canada some hopeful progress to examining this problem. Health Canada, a number of months ago, announced that they would engage in a study to, once and for all, figure out what the health effects of wind turbines are. And I think a lot of people are hoping that Health Canada will come up with the answers that they believe would be true.
Well, like all these things, it rather depends on which experts they get, because what I've seen is that the wind industry effectively buys off experts. You know, some of the acoustic engineers, for example, who testify favorably for the wind industry, tend to have changed their position, shall we say, on the effects of low frequency noise. It's remarkable how their minds change when a bit of expert witness money comes their way.
Well, then it becomes a tiresome battle of the experts, doesn't it? I'm not sure that serves the public interest in any way I can think of.
No. But I'm glad that Canada is. I think we are going to get a backlash. I think as public awareness grows, so more and more people will put pressure on their elected representatives to deal with this scandal. I mean, this should never have happened.
But in Australia, James, in Australia, in particular in some of the states in Australia, the governments are moving to examine this issue more closely, are they not?
Yes. Australia is ahead of the game. I don't know why it is, because, on the one hand, Australians are very, very feisty and outspoken when they're roused. On the other hand, it's possibly the most politically correct country I've ever been to. And I can tell you, the wind industry there, there's some pretty nasty characters. I mean, you should have seen the legal letter that I got when I wrote an article about this in a newspaper, threatening me with all manner of horrors just because I'd told the truth about the wind industry.
But what are the governments trying to do?
Well, they are taking seriously. There are several people in the Australian government, or rather in Parliament, rather not in Julia Gillard's party, but the Australian Liberal Party, for example, which is like the Conservative Party, who are really listening to the people who are complaining about these things and demanding that action be taken, for example, to increase the distances between wind farms and human habitation. It wouldn't surprise me if the wind industry in Australia was killed stone dead by this.
Yeah, let's take some calls here before we have to let you go. Here's Barb calling from Orangeville. Barb, do you have a question or comment?
Just a comment. Thank you both for contributing so much to this terrible plight we're all involved in. I was affected personally, but I just wanted to comment. I've heard many times that small children and the elderly are most susceptible, and I've been in contact with many, many people who have been affected, and I just don't see that that applies, because there are teenagers, there are people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, all affected with the same type of symptoms. And I know I've heard that a few times before, and I don't think that may have come out from one study or something. I'm not too sure, but it affects a broad portion of the population. And many of the people were perfectly healthy before. They didn't have any predispositions or medical issues or mental health issues. So I just want to clarify that for the listeners.
All right. Barb, thank you very much for that.
I think
that's fair to say, James, that it can affect absolutely anybody, really. Here's
absolutely. Certainly, I agree with that caller that the people I met did not fit into those categories. I was just repeating something that I have heard from doctors. But don't forget, we're still in the early stages.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, there's a lot to be learned here.
Just beginning to emerge.
Yeah, exactly. Here's Greg on the line from Port Elgin. Greg, do you have a comment?
First of all, I'd like to thank James for taking the courage to stand up to the wind industry. Our town, Saugeen Shore, is a small hamlet, much like Waterloo. In your article, James, is confronted with a turbine, and our residents are 117 homes within 550 meters of this turbine. And I just finished passing on your article this morning to the CAW Union, the wind developer in our case, and saying to them, please don't let what happened to Waterloo happen to Saugeen Shores, Ontario. So I just want to take a minute and thank you both for your perseverance in fighting the social injustice of wind energy.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Greg. This is
thank
probably...
It breaks my heart to hear stories like that. There are people all over the world, people who just wanted to, you know, who just want a quiet life, just get on with their, you know, with their beautiful homes and their families, and suddenly this monster has appeared from nowhere. It has been imposed on them, and I think what's really bad about all this is that often it is governments which are responsible for this with their renewable energy targets. You know, let's not forget, not one single wind turbine would be built anywhere in the world were it not for government diktat, governments around the world insisting that we need this.
Well, and offering and offering subsidies to those who will build them.
Offering I've written a whole book about the craziness of environmentalism, which I think some of your listeners might enjoy. It's called Watermelons, the Green Movement's True Colors, and you can get it from Amazon.
Watermelons, okay, that's great. Let's take another call from James in Oshawa. James, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, Dale. Thank you for taking my call here. I think it's terrible, some of the stories that people are phoning in and they're going through, but I think a more saner approach, I think you're sort of touching on it a bit about Health Canada doing a study. You know, and I thought it was kind of interesting, immediately James, he immediately jumped on it saying that was probably going to be for naught because there are going to be all kinds of people being bought off and influencing the scientific studies they're going to be doing. I find that kind of offensive, to be quite honest with you. Like, it's almost like everything people suggest on a new technology that automatically there's a conspiracy theory.
No, I don't think he was saying quite that. But, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, James, about the Health Canada study. But a lot of people, and I'm sure you know this, are concerned about who will participate in the study, what the terms of reference will be, and whether or not it will actually, deal with people who actually are suffering from these negative health effects. There are studies, and then there are studies, you know?
Absolutely, Dale. Yeah. But let's just step back a bit. If you remember, I'm living in Oshawa between two nuclear power plants. I worked and lived in Great Britain, and there is power plants everywhere. And, okay, a lot of times when I start hearing people saying, you know, the whole green movement, the, environmental movement, it's a big scam. Just remember back all the protests we had when we were trying to put these nuclear power plants in. You know, I was involved in it.
All right. James, I'm running out of...
No, he's looking at... Everyone's looking for renewable energy. I mean, most people, they're the most vehement anti...
James, I'm sorry. I'm out of time here. I've run right up against the news. Yeah, you can see, James Dellingpole, you can see what a massive set of issues are involved here when we talk about energy needs around the world. It's a very complex total picture, is it not?
But it's complex, and at the same time, in the case of wind farms, it's very, very simple.
I think you're right. I think you can...
For wind farms, environmentally, economically, politically, they are a disaster. They are the scandal of our age, and they should not be built.
James, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Glad to be on your show.
Okay, thanks now. Bye-bye. That's bye-bye. James Dellingpole, a journalist in the UK, talking about wind turbines.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.